Praise God. Well, how many are excited about the Lord? Amen. Praise God. Yeah, we'll get to share a few little stories today with you. Everyone knows, like I said, we're leaving, but we definitely need some prayer for what's happening. I want to just say this, that, you know, it's been a good couple of years, over a couple of years here now since COVID, that we haven't been able to go back to India. We've had works there since 1982, built hundreds of churches. You guys seen some of that stuff last Sunday of what the Lord is doing. So it's going to be a good time. But at the same time now that last Sunday, actually, the friend that we brought to India back in 84, and he's lived there since 85, had his kids there, got businesses there. We do a lot of ministry together. He's actually brought television into India for Christian programming and stuff. And a great man of God. Well, last Sunday, as he was coming back into the country, they refused his entry. And so what happens is he was supposed to pick me up in Hyderabad. And, you know, you get to go over and take a shower, get a little rest, get, you know, because I'll be meeting him now in Vietnam. But, you know, that all the visas and stuff are tied into his businesses that I have. And so some of these things could be very hairy. And yet, I don't know about you, I've been born again to trust God. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and go for it. It's going to be a 50-hour ordeal before I get to where I'm going after I once get on that plane tonight. So I could definitely use a little bit. But, you know, God gives us what we need. Amen. We got to learn to trust the Lord and what, you know, he says, join in the suffering. And the other, sometimes there's a little bit of suffering, but, you know, Jesus said, for the joy set before. You know, God has done so many things, and there's, you know, you can just go on to think about some of these things that God has done, and he's not finished. He's going to do a whole lot more. And so be encouraged. We definitely need somebody to pick up some meals. If somebody don't grab the meal on the 15th, people are going to come for a meal, and there ain't going to be one. All right, so please get in there and go ahead, and, you know, there's plenty of food, and our buddy over here, he can pick up some little extras as long as he knows what to do, as long as he answers his phone. he can go to Sam's and pick up some things. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. God, we just look to you for this time. And Lord, as that song says, Spirit, lead me. Lord, that's what we want in our heart, God. We want to be like those wise virgins that they prepared and they brought extra oil. And Lord, in our heart right now, God, I believe as we reach into the Word of God that we can begin to get extra oil into our lamps, God. We can be ready for the things that would come even against us, God. And so, Father, we just pray that your Word would come alive within our hearts and, God, that we as a people would have ears to hear. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, we're going to share a few scriptures with you today. I'm sure it won't go too long, but you never know with the stories that God has, amen. There is a few, but I want to start out in John chapter 16 and verse 8. It says this, and it's talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who will come, the Comforter, the Teacher. It says, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know, for me, it's pretty easy to look at other people and you know, hope that God convicts them of their sin. But you know, when I read the Bible, a lot of what happens to me is I start getting convicted. God starts speaking to my heart some of the things that I need. And I begin to realize that this is the way that we begin to gain oil in our lamps. As we allow God to speak some truths into our life, and like my wife just said, that, you know, there's some things that we begin to do that we want to do. And you know, we sing a song, Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit will say, have your way in me. How many would want to say that? All right, get ready now. All right, and I'm gonna talk about Harley. I don't have to talk about you. I'm gonna talk about Harley. But you know, I pray that God convict. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people nowadays you don't get too many messages preached about sin. I've only heard maybe two on the hell in my whole life. And at the same time, hell is so real. That's the end for a lot of people. You know, different things that happen. And so God begins to speak some things. And I want God to be able to convict me. And so when he comes, that doesn't mean that he just comes in the second coming. That means when he comes to us, I don't know about you, he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and you know, I don't know about you, there's times God begins to do little things in our life, and then that's time to begin to deal with those things that God is at least trying to get some help and not doing what a goat would do and ignore the situation, you know? How many would like goat meat? It works out. How many like to have goats? You know, here you go get a goat, and the thing you might think it's going to do something, and next thing you know, you go outside, and it's up on top of your car, scratching it and putting little dents in it. You know what I mean? You know, so goats don't produce, and God wants us to begin to be able to work out some things. God, he wants to work in a character. And so I began to read, and God began to do some things the other day. But, you know, there's some characteristics, and I want to talk just a little bit about love today. How many know the Bible says you'll know them by their love? And it's something that's very obvious. And there, you know, as I got to a certain point in a little bit of a study the other day, I began to really get touched really deep in my heart because, you know, I read this scripture in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, how many love God? And hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Now, I began to read this here just a little bit, and I began to realize that it's impossible to love God if you're not loving others. And yet, in church, in families, all kinds of families, well, how you doing? Oh, good. You got a brother? Yeah. Well, how's he doing? Well, I don't know. I haven't talked to him in 5 years. We had a falling out. I want to tell you something. You got a problem. You got a problem with God. Not just your brother. You got a serious problem with God. If you got problems with people and you're not dealing with them problems, what you got is you got a major problem with God. See, God starts to speak to my heart about these things. I mean, we got people right in here that, you know, having little conflicts, and I mean, you know, I know people that if they like you, they're nice to you. If they don't like you, they'll let you know it. Wrong. You are 100% wrong if that's your attitude. And God is saying, if you say you love me and you don't love your brother, you're lying. And who you're lying to is yourself. I don't know. Let's say it again. How many want to be led by the Spirit? You know, it ain't that easy. You understand? I mean, it takes a little bit of effort and a little bit of allowing God to awake us up from the heart. But love conquers all. Love goes beyond. Love can do things. Love can even make your enemies be at peace with you. I've found that out. And so, you know, sometimes I'm not very good at it. Sometimes I ignore it in my own life, and I'm looking at everybody else's life, and God is trying to speak to me through these scriptures. Now, you see, he says really that love is supposed to be our number one priority in our life. Now we can say, well, we need to use tough love. Well, there is such a thing as tough love, but we don't want to mix up tough love. You know, my ma used to do that quite a bit. Well, I'm just speaking the truth in love. No, you're speaking the truth without love, because it isn't in the right season right now. But she would let you know. She would let you know. She was a good gal. All of us have little weaknesses, and we'll talk about some of those things just a little bit. But, you know, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, it talks about some things before, and we'll get them. But Paul was, you know, there's all these gifts and all these things that we can do and all these things that we want to be able to do. You know, we'll talk about them a little bit. But what he says in verse 31 is this: but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way. And then he pops into chapter 13, verse 1. Now, how many know that the gifts of God are a great thing? I mean, you know, if you can go out and pray for people, a prophetic word, you know, speaking in tongues, the Holy Ghost, I mean, gifts of faith and hope and serving one another, all these things, they're great gifts. But he talks about even a more excellent way. Now, if God says it's more excellent, then I have to believe it. And then at the same time, when I start to allow God by his Holy Spirit to convict me. You see, when I'm in a situation, that's when God needs to convict me. So if you got some things going on, God starts to speak to you a little bit about someone or something, don't try to justify it. Don't try to do anything. Just say, God, what should I do now? What can I do? And you know, sometimes we've done so many things that you have to say, well, God, there's nothing more I can do. They don't even like to see me coming. Well, then just say, God, open up a door. And God, he can. He can open up a door for us to begin to do some of these things. Now, in verse 13, chapter 13, and verse 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and we'll talk about it a little bit. But it says, if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels... Now, that's pretty heavy duty, isn't it? And have not love, I'm what? A noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I got to use that scripture. I'll tell you about that one day. Now, today, actually, I'll tell you about it. And it says, and if I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. I want to tell you something. What happens is, you're going to find that sometimes Christians that have been Christians a little longer, they start losing the ability to know what real love is. They start leaning on things that aren't necessarily love. They start leaning on, you got to do this, and you got to know that, and you got to be this, and you got to be that. And if you're not that, you're not right. And so something begins to, you know, to begin to disappear just a little bit. So you can be the one that has prophetic words for everybody. You can be the one that can move mountains. You can be, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. I don't know about you, that starts to hit me. And when I get a little farther down, you're gonna understand, and I think it's gonna start to hit you too just a little bit. It says, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. I'll tell you what, a lot of people go through motions. But yet God is still, by his Holy Spirit, trying to get to areas in our life to make us so much stronger, so much more valuable, so much more that I tell you what, I've been in the presence of some men and women of God that all you have to do is be in their presence. They don't even have to say anything. You got fellowship in the Spirit of God. God just brings a peace. Even like when Paul, he walking down the road and this demon-possessed one was, you know, I mean, they couldn't actually, they began to be affected by, and I want God to purify me in such a way where I want to be led by God's Spirit. I want God to be able to be manifest within my life. And so, you know, again, I'm being convicted by all these passages in my heart as I begin to read them. You know, there's a lot of years ago, we were heading down to Mexico to be with Danny Oss Ministry. And Paul Tucker Sr., he got a hold of us before we left. He said, I want you to go and be with the Mortimers before you go, he said, don't just go down there and be with the one ministry, because he said, you might get hurt. But he said, I can tell you that the Mortimers are really genuine. They're good people. I'm really glad he did say that, because we were young in the Lord, just wanting to serve God, wanting to find the things of God. So we got in the biggest bus that they make. Jim Dalton and some of these friends that we used to go out there and preach, they would sing because I couldn't. They would play because I couldn't. God gave me a big mouth. That's it. And so we take this bus, big scenic cruiser, 12 beds, double-decker bus down. We hit Texas. We pull into the main ministry deal by the border. And he said, well, do you speak Spanish? No. Do you read Spanish? No. He says, well, when you drive down there, he says, if you see a big sign that says Alto, that means stop. I'll tell you, it was pretty crazy. So we go down there. Got my kids. How old was Corey? Corey was in kindergarten. Seth was just a little runt. And I think he just learned. He was 2 years old, but he got potty trained then. She prayed that he would get before we left. So we're going to spend 3 months down there. So, Danny Oss Ministry, you know, people got shortcomings. Danny Oss was a good man of God, did a lot of great things. So don't get this wrong. But do know that all of us have little shortcomings that God is trying to work on. And if we let him, we'll be better, you know. And so we get down there and, you know, we set the bus up in the parking lot of one of these centers, and Danny Oss lives in the one center, and we're in this other big center down there in Mexico City. And, you know, we're building Sunday school rooms, laying blocks, you know, I'm doing it. And Corey, he's actually my block tender. And we're building these rooms, and, I mean, we're doing all these things. And long story short, you know, the clutch went out on the bus right when we were just about ready to pull in the parking lot on this bus. The clutch went out on this bus, and we couldn't get anybody to bring us to a mechanic who couldn't speak Spanish, and hardly anybody down there spoke English. It's crazy in those days. And so we were working, and we would try to stay busy. We were doing everything we could, and one particular guy, pretty nice guy, we start to really fall in love with some of the group members that were playing, because there were services every day, morning, afternoon, and night, every day. But yet we would work, and I would get up in the morning, start working. And in the afternoon, I couldn't get nobody to take my wife out shopping, so I'd have to walk with her, because you don't want her going out there by herself. And I'd come back, and so Danny Oss, you know, I would watch. And all of a sudden, nobody would be doing anything. And all of a sudden, everybody just all of a sudden jumped to, they're cleaning, they're doing, everybody's busy, everybody's in their station. And I'm figuring, what's going on? All of a sudden, here comes Danny Oscar. He'd pull in. People from the other thing would say, he's coming, so they would get ready. And he was like a drill sergeant. So, again, long story short, they need to use the bus to take Bobby Cruz, Nikki Cruz, Richie Ray to Acapulco. Now, it's a nice bus. And so, you know, I watch, I look. You know, if a guy comes, you know, they would have preachers come, and if the preacher had a church of 500, they would wine them, dine them, put them up in a nice hotel. But if you didn't, you couldn't even get somebody to take you to the store. And so I just, you know, I don't know about you, but these things, they hit you, you know. Life hits you. And so all of a sudden now Danny Oss, he wants me to take these guys to Acapulco. And I said, you know, I can't do that. Because I already said if I got my bus fixed, I would take the music group to Acapulco. So Danny, he kind of got mad at me. He says, well, just what do you do? He said, do you work for a living? I mean, he's railing me for 15, 20 minutes straight. You know, before I came there, I'd been working 14 to 16 hours a day, keeping a coffee house open 4 nights a week, driving home. My wife would have to pray to drive me home because I'd be falling asleep on my way home from Cloquet to home. And so he's railing me, and I let him go. And then the sin started coming out of me. You know, I just said, are you done? He said, yeah. I said, you're a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I said, I began to tell him what he's doing wrong now. You know, and how many know that that's just not a profitable situation? I said, I can't even get anybody to bring me down to a mechanic to get my clutch fixed. He goes, well, I can get somebody to get you down there. I said, you know, he just said, will you do it then? And I just look at my wife. I said, well, you know, if we take this group down there, he's going to be in trouble anyway. So we said, okay. Well, it was a long story short. It was a good time. We had a good time going down there. We did a rally down there. But, you know, I got to use that scripture. You're a clanging cymbal, you know. You're a gong. And that isn't what God meant, because everybody has their little shortcomings. I mean, he was like a general, you know what I'm saying? And people would do these things, and that was a little shortcoming that God wanted to and needed to work in his life. You know, I don't think he needed a big mouth to, you know, be the one to break the news always, you know what I'm saying? You know, I got to speak the truth in love, you know. And so, you know, I just to give you little stories, it kind of helps to understand a little bit. I read a few more things in there. But, you know, the Bible says as you begin to get down just a little bit farther, you know, the New Testament talks about the characteristics of love. And if you get to that place, you begin to realize what God is trying to say. And, you know, I read a thing about a missionary one day, because, you know, missionaries are really good people, especially those that actually give their lives and do more than a 2-week service, that they go and they be somewhere. And this missionary, he had wrote something down about love, that these verses that we want to read here, I'm going to start to read these things. But in verses 4 through 7, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, it says, love is what? Patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Does not brag. Is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. Love won't. Love is this supposedly this more excellent way. But this missionary, he made a vow with God. He said he was going to read those 4 verses every day. I'm going to cry at this one. And he's going to put his name in there. Harley is patient. And he said, when he gets to that place where he's short, he's not going to go any farther, and that he's praying that someday he would be able to put his name in every one of these things for God. It hit me. because I read it again, and I had to do that. I said, Harley is patient. Wow. The end. Didn't even start, and I'm already at the end. I mean, if you know Harley, he ain't patient. I'm thinking, God, you know, and yet, you know, sometimes we can justify all these things. Well, you know, we're busy. I got a lot of things to do, God. That God doesn't give excuses. You know, that's not an excuse that I'm busy. Love is patient. All we can say is, God, help me. And then it says, love is kind. Is Harley kind? Sometimes. Sometimes if we like you. You understand what I'm saying? You hear where it's going. I mean, God, you got to speak to each one of us in our heart of what it is. Can I say that Harley is kind? You know, I think about some of that, about kindness. And you know, I'd like to say, well, you know, I've done some nice things for some people. And at the same time, you know, I find myself, you know, when you're dealing with people, I don't know, I've often said, God, I don't know why you love people. They're crazy. You know, they're just this, you know, and yet he does. And he talks about this love, you know. I wanna read in 1 Corinthians 12. I wanna read 1 John first once to you. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17 says this. For we have come to know and have believed that love which God has for us, God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. You see, in other words, Harley can't just say what's right. God says what's right. And God's Holy Spirit begins to perfect us, and he wants us to be in that same image. And it says in verse 17, it says, but this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Jesus loved the world so much that he gave. He didn't have to be right. So then again, we begin to go down these things, and we see that if you were to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll look at that real quick, because it's important that, you know, a lot of times Christians, they want to be Christians and they want to be used by God. And so right away in chapter 12, we look at verses 27 through 31. It says, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. You know, when we became born again, we become born into the family of God. We become members of the body of Christ. The church is supposed to be something that functions, has the ability to help heal. It's like a hospital for the sick. And so, you know, God wants to give gifts. He said to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And so God wants us to desire spiritual gifts. And it goes on, it says, and God has appointed in the church, see, he's talking about these gifts, where are they supposed to be used? A lot of people today say, well, you don't have to go to church. Well, I believe that church is supposed to be something. It's supposed to be a body that's alive with the life of Christ, and no individual can do it. A body has many members, and as the members function, the body can bring healing. It can bring a lot of things. It says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire greater gifts. So it doesn't do away with it. It doesn't eliminate it. It still wants us to have that and have it in operation. But then it says, but I show you still a more excellent way. Now, see, that's what Harley's got to get into his life, because, you know, when I get to this point where, you know, I'm sitting there with somebody and they're explaining something that's going on, and here's my aunt, you know, I mean, they're explaining to me something that going on and ain't God. Well, that's a bunch of nonsense. That's what comes out of my mouth. It ain't nonsense, it's reality. Someone's being stuck. Something's happened there, but you know, if I have this attitude, I'll never be able to get to it or change it. See, there's things in our lives that God can get us to if he can bring us to that place, and he can bring us to the place with the very power of God, the excellence of God, where people not only see somebody up on a pedestal, but they see the love of God, and they want that. They earnestly desire that. You see, God's people are different. I don't know about you. I hope you're being convicted, but I hope you're being convicted in a good way, because God wants to do something here. You understand? God wants to do something in us and then through us in a powerful way. Now, it says, it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, as we look at that again, it says, love does not brag. Well, that's probably something that we've got fairly under control. We're not somebody that's tooting some horn. If Jesus doesn't do it, it ain't going to get done. I know that fully. It's not by anything that I know. God takes the simple things of this world to confound the wise. And so it says, and is not arrogant. You know, sometimes many of us can hit some of these things and maybe put our name in there. But I want to be just like this missionary that someday can go through that whole list. Harley does not act unbecomingly. You know, there's a lot of things that God wants to deal with us in a lot of ways, and you know, unbecomingly is, you know, we can get that one down. You know, there's a lot of times we're acting in a way that we shouldn't really be acting. You know, sometimes people, they have jobs with a bunch of characters, and so when they're with them characters, they kind of let go of some virtue in God. Harley doesn't want to act unbecomingly. He wants to act like he's been called of God and appointed of God. And then again, Harley does not seek his own. You know, sometimes most of our plans, a lot of times in our lives, are trying to plan something for ourselves, our future, our whatever it might be, our plans for today, tomorrow, what we like, what we don't like. And you know, I mean, it's important that Harley doesn't just spend all his time seeking his own. Jesus didn't do that. And yet Jesus, you know, when I see Jesus, he wasn't lacking in anything. What he did didn't cause him to lack. In fact, he's the Lord of lords and King of kings. In all eternity, he will be the very light that lights up the eternity. He will be the one we worship. He's not lacking anything for what he did. And yet, something in my mentality needs to change. You know, preachers can be some of the worst, can't they? Man, I don't know about you, but I had a preacher one time that he was giving me this big sob story about money. So right away, I dug into money that we didn't hardly have and gave it to him, only to find out that he had gotten a big inheritance. He didn't tell me about that. He's always in need. You know what I mean? He does not take his own. And so, I don't know about you, don't just look at what he did. Look at what I did. You know, God convicted me one day that, you know, when we were first doing ministry, and I had this old ratty car, and a preacher friend comes, and, oh, man, Praise God. Look at that. God blessed me with a new car. It wasn't brand new, but it was really new. It was pretty nice. And you know, the first thing in my heart was, wow, God, he has a nice car. Why him and why not me? That goes by. A little while later, another preacher comes, another preacher friend. Praise God. A brother just blessed me with $10,000. Put it in my hand and says, here, God told me to give you this. And I'm telling you what, the guy sits in a big, beautiful house. Wife's got a car. He's got a car. Kid's got a car. He got all the money he needs. I said, God, why did you give it to him? Man, I got to pray for ketchup if I need ketchup. What's going on? Next guy comes in a little bit, and he goes, I mean, this was really a doozer to me. He said, see that? Yeah, that's the keys to a brand new car. He said, you want to know what a brand new car smells like? Come on out here. Brings me to his brand new car, and I had to sit in it and smell this brand new car smell. And then I thought, God, he gave it to him, brand new car. No payments, free of charge. My car goes on the road. This guy's wife had a new car. He's got a beautiful car, and he gets another car. And I said, God, why him, God? Why not me? I got an answer from God. Right then, he said, because your heart ain't right. When your brother rejoices and is blessed, you're supposed to bless with him. But when he's in sorrow, you're supposed to be in sorrow with him, but you just think about yourself. I tell you what, I got on my knees, I prayed, and it wasn't more than 3-4 days, and I got a couple $100 in the mail. Never got mail before with money in it, but God did it a little bit. Maybe it wasn't 10 grand, but I began to realize what a clean heart, creating me a clean heart, oh, God will do, but the other aspect of it I keep forgetting when I get older always is it takes some effort on my side. I got to remember what the Bible says and what God is calling me to do and be. I'll tell you what, the devil has no power over people when they move in the things of God. Now, it goes on just a little bit. It says, not provoked. I can't put my name there. Man, I've been times where I think I'd like to go and put one right to the head of some of these politicians that are just screwing up the country that I've given my life for. God help me. You know, rather than say God save them, man, I've said God take their breath. Harley can't put his name there. Harley is not provoked. Nope, he's provoked. Help me, God. It takes God to do these things, but you know what? God can. I really believe that God can. We get to go a little farther. Harley doesn't keep a record of everything someone's done to him wrong. Wow. I don't keep a record. I got a file cabinet. I remember. What's wrong with me, God? I mean, it's the truth, ain't it? You know, and I'm sitting there trying to help and do other things, and you know, you want to help people, and you know, I tell you what. Talks about not acting unbecomingly, Harley. He doesn't go out and smoke weed with the unrighteous. You know, a lot of people are doing that. What are they going to do when it gets legal? You know, I want to tell you something. Some of these little things that, you know, that you can put in a pipe now, it's supposedly legal, but it's THC. Harley doesn't smoke weed with the unrighteous. You know, it's kind of, or spread unrighteous stories about someone. You know, you think about it. You think about just the news hit the other day about vineyard and someone falling into sin. We need to really pray, because there's a lot of people that have put their trust in God, and they're going to see that they're going to feel like God let them down because someone fell. And not at all, but it could be something that really hurts a lot of people in their walk with God. And so we need to not just, well, you know, they got what they deserve. They're kind of a loose living place. No, they didn't get what they deserve, because there's a lot of righteous people that are going to be kind of caught up in the midst of it. And God, we need your grace and your mercy and your love to help people out of sin rather than keep them in sin. You know, it says, but try, as I put in there, to bear all things, to help. I need to be like Jesus. You know, I mean, you think about Jesus, they called him a demon. You cast out demons by the prince of demons. You're the demon. He didn't take that to heart. He didn't let that sink into him. He just realized that he tried to bear all things. You know, so some people are going to do unrighteous things, just like Danny Ost. I mean, Danny Ost had his daughter and his nephew and all these. They had to go out and raise their own money, and he had a lot of money, but they had to go raise their own money in order to do missions. God, he's an unrighteous man. You know, I mean, I started to not like more things about him, but the things that he did was tremendous. He started centers of hope that no one else has ever done. And I just eliminated all these good things he was doing, and all I could see is the bad things. And I think, God, you know, God, where I need to be able to try to bear all things so that we can begin to bring some hope. God wants us to believe the best. How many know people, they can change? Hope never fails. Always hopes for the best. That's what the Bible, that's what the scripture says. Harley hopes for the best. I came to this place where, as I began to go through these things, I said, I need to work on a lot of endurance, because I want to finish the race in a good fashion. I want to finish the race with something that is called a crown, that, you know, those that serve him in righteousness and truth will be able to cast at the feet of Jesus in heaven. Harley has a long way to go. But at the same time, hope never fails. I believe God can make all things new. If I'll let the Holy Spirit have its way, and I won't try to just neglect, or, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, he is without sin. Let him cast the first stone. No one could. I realize that. And I realize that until we see him, then we'll know, and we'll be able to be like him. But my hope is in Jesus. I hope that we can go here and encourage some of these people that have been there and been faithful, losing their wives, trying to be faithful through COVID, through being attacked by, you know, the enemy of the world today is Jesus Christ. It's not anything else. It's Jesus. It's truth. It's life. It's the way. That's what's in attack. And God wants us to be bold as a lion, being strong and courageous. He didn't say, well, you know, do you feel strong? Do you feel crazy? He didn't say that. He just said, be. Go out and take those first steps and be some of this. And so, you know, I don't believe Jesus will come up short. All that Jesus has done, he wants to perfect in us something. All we can say is this: Jesus, have your way in me. You know, when it comes to singing the song, create in me a clean heart, O God. And then when it comes to someone that says that, you know, that you can't hate your brother, you can't have aughts against your brother, you can't keep a record of these things wrong. When you find you've got a record, you got to start throwing the record away and making some effort to try to change things and to forget some things. Make sense? How many know that through Christ we shall be better and we shall overcome? Amen? Hallelujah. And it's good. Even Frank, he stood up and he confessed something, didn't he? He said, I could have and I should have. But I bet you what, that's going to help him for next time. And so that's a good thing. You know, God's going to work out some things for the good. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we know that your word says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We see that. We see that clearly. And yet, our hope is in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. God, that your blood and your forgiveness does things in our life. Lord, help us to be in agreement with what you want to do. And Lord, when we're not in agreement, help God, the Holy Spirit, to convict our heart, to pierce our very heart in these things so that someday, God, and not just the day you come for us, that we can actually begin to put our name in those places that we have truly overcome. We love you. God, it's not impossible. All things are possible for those who love the Lord because your Spirit is strong, God. And Lord, if we lean on you, if we draw from the things of God, if we allow the Spirit to speak to us as we would read and take good concern, God, you can cause us to be victorious. Lord, to win our family, to be that solid anchor, God, that keeps things together. So, Lord, I pray a blessing on your people. I pray that the enemy would not steal the words. I pray that you'd continue to work with us. Lord, be with them as they would go their way. Be with me, God, as I get on a plane, and help us to understand your perfect will. And all of us say, Jesus, we love you in Jesus' name.
I think that for many of us, we'd like to pray for Pastor on his trip.